أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the one who bestows mercy, indeed all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In this lesson, we come to the sixth hadith from Riyadh al-Salihin, from the chapter of Al-Ikhlas, from the chapter of sincerity. The author, Al-Hafidh Al-Nawawi Rahimahullah, he said, عن أبي يزيد معن ابن يزيد ابن الأخنس رضي الله عنهم. Upon the authority of Abu Yazid Ma'an, the son of Yazid, the son of Al-Akhnas, may Allah be pleased with all of them. The author said, وَهُوَ وَأَبُوهُ وَجَدُّهُ صُحَابِيُونَ. And he, i.e. Ma'an, and his father and his grandfather, all of them are companions. قال, he said, كان أبي يزيد أخرج دنانير يتصدق بها. Ma'an said that my father Yazid, he had donated some gold coins towards charity, for charity. فوضعها عند رجل في المسجد. So he gave these gold coins and he placed them with a man in the masjid. فجئت فأخذتها. So I came and I took the gold coins. فأتيته بها. And then I bought these gold coins. I brought the gold coins back to my father. فقال. So he said, والله ما إياك أردت. His father, meaning Yazid, he said, by Allah, I did not intend for you to have these gold coins. فخاصمته إلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. So I disputed with him in front of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. فقال, so the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لك ما نويت يا يزيد. For you, O Yazid, is that which you intended. وَلَكَ مَا أَخَذْتَ يَا مَعَنْ. And for you, O Ma'an, is that which you have taken. رواه البخاري. And this hadith has been collected by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah in his Sahih. So this noble hadith has been narrated upon the authority of a man whose name is Ma'an. And Ma'an, the person who narrates this hadith and narrates this story, he is the son of Yazid. And Yazid was the son of Al-Akhnas. Radiallahu anhum. May Allah be pleased with all of them. And the reason why we say, may Allah be pleased with all of them, radiallahu anhum, as opposed to radiallahu anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, we use the plural term because, as the author said, huwa wa abuhu wa jadduhu kulluhum min as-sahabiyun. Because he, Ayman, and his father, meaning Yazid, and his grandfather, meaning Al-Akhnas, all of them are companions, all of them are sahaba. And this is something which is very rare, that you find a hadith like this, in which the narrator and the father and his grandfather, all of them accepted Islam during the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and met with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and so they are considered to be sahaba. And even more rare and unique is that all these three companions, may Allah be pleased with them, it is narrated that they all partook in the battle of Badr. So Ma'an and his father Yazid and his grandfather Al-Akhnas, all of them, they took part in the battle of Badr.
And Ma'an radiallahu an, he narrates this story, he mentions this story between him and between his father. May Allah be pleased with both of them. And that is, as he mentioned, he said, كان أبي أخرج دنانير يتصدق بها. Ma'an, the son said, that my father, Yazid, he gave some gold coins as charity. فَوَضَعَهَا عِنْدَ رَجُلٍ. And he gave these gold coins to a man inside the masjid. And he gave the gold coins to the man inside the masjid for the man to donate them and distribute them on his behalf. So the man who initially received the gold coins, it was not because he was poor, rather he was given the gold coins so he can then distribute them amongst the poor people on behalf of Yazid, the father of Ma'an. And then Ma'an said, فَجِئْتُ فَأَخَذْتُهَا. So then I came to this man and I received the gold coins. فَأَتَيْتُهُ بِهَا. And then I went to my father's house with the gold coins. And then his father said, وَاللَّهِ مَا إِيَّاكَ أَرَتْ. He said, by Allah, I did not intend for you to receive these gold coins. And so they fell into a dispute between Ma'an the son, who is narrating the story, and Yazid the father, who gave the gold coins in the first place to be donated amongst the poor. There was a dispute amongst them. Meaning, does the son Ma'an have any right to keep the gold coins, which was charity? Or does he have to return the charity to that man in the masjid who can then donate it and distribute it amongst the poor? And also, the father Yazid, even though he did not intend his son to receive the gold coins, but is his charity valid? And so, Ma'an said, فَخَاصَمْتُهُ إِلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. So I disputed with him in front of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Meaning, they went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to try to clear up this misunderstanding or this confusion. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لَكَ مَا نَوَيْتَ يَا يَزِيد. O Yazid, I the father, the one who gave the gold coins, for you is that which you intended. Meaning, you have the reward of giving charity. The reward is written and guaranteed because your intention was to give charity and this is what you did. وَلَكَ مَا أَخَذْتَ يَا مَعَنْ. And as for you, O Ma'an, the son, the one who took the gold coins from the man in the masjid, you can keep the gold coins because you are deserving of the gold coins. So the father, he placed the gold coins with a man in the masjid who was responsible and trustworthy, and this man would distribute the coins on his behalf. And then the son of Yazid, meaning Ma'an, the one who is narrating the story, he came to the man. Why did the man give the gold coins to the son? The ulama mentioned two possibilities. The first possibility is that perhaps the man was not aware that Ma'an is the son of Yazid. This is one possibility. He was not aware that this is the son of the father Yazid. And the second possibility is that he was aware that it was his son, but he was poor. And the instructions which were given to him were to distribute the wealth, the gold coins amongst the poor. And even though he may be his son, but the fact that he is poor, he is deserving of the gold coins. So both possibilities are valid. And then when he returned back to the father Yazid, and he found out that his son had taken the gold coins, he said, مَا إِيَّاكَ أَرَتْ. I did not intend for you to take the gold coins. I wanted to give it to poor people. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he ruled between both of them. And he cleared the confusion and he cleared the misunderstanding. So he said, "Laka ma ya laka ya Yazid ma nawait." O Yazid, the father who donated the coins, you have that which you intended. Because the principle which we have in our religion is innamal a'malu binniyat. Actions are according to their intentions. So as long as a person intended to give in charity and then gave the wealth, because he intended charity, the reward is written and his action or his intention is valid. And then the Prophet said to the son, وَلَكَ يَا مَعَنْ مَا أَخَذْتْ. And as for you, O Ma'an, you can keep that which you took. Because you took the gold coins because you are poor. And the man gave you the gold coins because he knows that you are poor. And therefore, your action of you taking the wealth, this is valid and you can keep the wealth. So this hadith is an evidence for the principle which we are covering, and that is innama al-a'malu binniyat. Actions are according to their intentions. The father intended charity for the poor and he gave his gold coins. Regardless of which poor person took the gold coins, even if it's his own son, his action and his intention is valid. Even though the action was not fulfilled in the way that he thought it would be fulfilled, in the way which he expected. But because of his intention, the action is valid. And this principle, that actions are according to their intentions. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, rahimullah, in his explanation of Riyadus Salihin, he mentions various scenarios that this principle applies to. So for example, and this question often occurs, a man donated his zakah to another person thinking that that person is poor. And then after giving the zakah to that person, and now the zakah is finished and the month has gone by, it turns out that the man who was given his zakah was not in fact poor. He was a wealthy person. The one who donated the zakah, is his obligation fulfilled? Or does he now have to give the same amount of zakah to a poor person because that person was not poor? Has he fulfilled his responsibility and his obligation? We go by the principle, innamal a'malu binniyat. Actions are according to their intentions. So the man who gave the zakah, when he gave the zakah to this person, he intended, and what he was aware of is that this person is poor. So his intention was that this poor person is receiving my zakah. Later on, it turned out, without him knowing, that this person was not from the poor people. Maybe he was lying. He was from the wealthy people. But the person who gave the zakah, innamal a'malu binniyat, actions according to intentions. So because he intended the correct thing, and he gave it in the correct manner, the obligation is fulfilled. And he has completed his responsibility. And we don't request from the person to give another amount of zakah. Also, as Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimullah, he mentions an example that let's say you have two houses, a smaller house and a larger house. And you want to give the smaller house as a waqf, as a charitable endowment. Meaning, you say that from these two houses, this small house of mine, I want to give this for charity. Meaning, I want the Muslims at large to benefit from this house. So I do not own it, and I do not profit from it, neither do my inheritors or my heirs inherit it or benefit from it. No rent is charged. Rather, it's there for the people to use. Anybody who needs to take benefit from it can use it. So let's say a person in his mind, he intended the smaller house, but he named the bigger house. It was a slip of the tongue, or he pointed towards the larger house saying, this is a waqf. He pointed towards the larger house, but he intended the smaller house. We say, innamal a'malu binniyat. Actions are according to their intentions. He intended the smaller house, but he made a mistake. It was a slip of the tongue and he mentioned the bigger house instead. So when this person now clarifies his intention and says, look, this was a slip of the tongue, inside me, I was intending my smaller house. It is the smaller house which is made as a waqf, not the larger house. And also, as Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimullah, in his explanation of Riyadu Salihin, he gives another example. Let's say a man said to his wife, "Anti Taliq," that you are Taliq. And the meaning of Taliq in Arabic is either divorced or free. So the man said to his wife, "Anti Taliq," you are Taliq. And he intended that you are free. He did not intend divorce. We say, innamal a'malu bin niyat. We have to go back to the intention of the person. Did you intend divorce? Or did you intend that she is free to go out, for example, or free to go back to her family? And conversely as well, if a person never said to his wife, anti taliq, you are divorced, but he said to his wife, go back to your family, and he intended by these words that you are divorced, even though he did not say divorce. But when he said you are free to go to your family, he meant by this that I am divorcing you. This was his intention. Has the divorce occurred or not? Innamal a'malu bin niyat. Actions are according to their intentions. So because he intended divorce, even though he did not say the word taliq, he said a different word, but his intention behind the word was divorce, the divorce has occurred. And for this reason, the ulama mentioned that a divorce occurs by any word which a person says intending divorce. And I gave an example. A person said, you are free, instead of saying you're divorced. If he intended by this wording divorce, then the woman is divorced the first time. So the point behind this hadith is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لَكَ يَا يَزِيد مَا نَوَيْتِ, that for you, O Yazid, is the reward of charity, because this is what you intended. And إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, actions are according to their intentions. And as for you, O Ma'an, you can keep what you took, because you are وَلَكَ مَا أَخَذْتِ, and therefore it is your property. And then after this, we come to the seventh hadith. And the seventh hadith, the author, Al-Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah, he said, وَعَنْ أَبِي إِسْحَاقِ سَعَدْ إِبْنِ أَبِي وَقَّاسِ, upon the authority of Abu Ishaq, Sa'ad, the son of Abi Waqqas, Malik ibn Uhayb ibn Abdi Munaf, ibn Zahrat ibn Kulab ibn Murrat ibn Ka'b ibn Lu'ay al-Qurashi al-Zuhari, radiyallahu anhu. He mentioned his lineage back to the Quraysh and al-Zuhari. He said, أحد العشرة المشهود لهم بالجنة. And Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas radiyallahu anhu, he is one of those 10 people, those 10 companions who were given the guarantee and the glad tiding of Jannah whilst they were alive. Qal, he said, Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas said, Ja'ani Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ya'uduni 'ama hajjatil wada', that the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he came and visited me in the year in which he did his final farewell pilgrimage. Min waja'in ishtadda bi, due to an illness which became severe. Faqultu ya Rasulullah, so I said, O Messenger of Allah, inni qad balagha bi min al waj' ma tara, verily this illness has become severe upon me, as you can see. Wa ana dhu malin, and I possess a lot of money, a lot of wealth. Wa la yarithuni illa ibnatun li, and I only have one daughter who is my heir. I only have one daughter who will inherit all my wealth. Afa atasaddaqu bi thuluthi mali, should I therefore give, can I donate 2/3 of my wealth in charity? Meaning, can I bequest 2/3 of my wealth to be given in charity? قال لا. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam forbade him and said no. قلت فالشطر يا رسول الله. And then I said, a half, O Messenger of Allah. Meaning, can I give a half of my wealth in charity, O Messenger of Allah? فقال لا. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam forbade him and said no. قلت فالثلث يا رسول الله. Can I give a third of my wealth in charity, O Messenger of Allah? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam replied, الثلث والثلث كثير أو كبير. The Prophet said, yes, you can give a third. However, even a third is a lot, or even a third is great. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam advised him, إِنَّكَ إِن تَذَرْ وَرَثَتَكَ أَغْنِيَا خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَن تَذَرْهُمْ عَالَى. He said, for you to leave your heirs rich and wealthy is better than you leaving them needy. يَتَكَفَّفُونَ النَّاسِ, and they beg and ask from the people. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, وَإِنَّكَ لَن تُنْفِقَ نَفَقَةً تَبْتَغِي بِهَا وَجْهَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا أُجِرْتَ عَلَيْهَا. That whenever you spend something or donate something and you intend the face of Allah, you intend the reward which Allah has, you will be rewarded for it. حَتَّى مَا تَجْعَلُ فِي فِي مْرَأَتِكَ. Even that morsel of food which you place in the mouth of your wife. Meaning, even the food which you put on the table that your wife eats from, if it is done, تَبْتَغِي بِهَا وَجْهَ اللَّهِ, if it is done and you're seeking the reward which is with Allah, you are rewarded for it. Then Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas said, يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أُخَلَّفُ بَعْدَ أَصْحَابِي. O Messenger of Allah, will I remain back after my companions? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِنَّكَ لَن تُخَلَّفْ فَتَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا. That even if you did remain behind, if you did an action, تَبْتَغِي بِهِ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ, and you sought and desired the face of Allah, إِلَّا ازْدَدْتَ بِهِ دَرَجَةً وَرِفَعًا. Except that Allah will increase you in your reward and increase you in your rank. وَلَعَلَّكَ أَن تُخَلَّفْ. And perhaps you will remain behind. حتى ينتفع بك أقوام ويضر بك آخرون. Perhaps you will remain behind, so some people will benefit from you and others will be harmed by you. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam made a dua. اللهم أمضي لأصحابي هجرتهم. O Allah, allow my companions to complete their hijrah, their migration. وَلَا تَرُدَّهُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِهِمْ. And do not turn them back on their necks. وَلَكِنَّ الْبَائِسِ سَعْدِ بْنُ خَوْلَىٰ. However, the unfortunate one is Sa'd ibn Khawla. And the author, Imam al-Nawawi rahimullah, he said, يَرْثِي لَهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَنْ مَاتَ بِمَكَّةِ. That the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he was lamenting that Sa'd ibn Khawla radiallahu anhu, he died in Mecca, and the hadith is in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim. And the hadith will be made clear when we go through the explanation of the hadith. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this was the year in which he made his final Hajj. And whilst he was making his final Hajj, Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, this companion, he was in Mecca. And whilst he was in Mecca, he became ill. So Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, he was one of the early companions to accept Islam. Maybe the fourth, fifth or sixth companion to accept Islam. And he was from the most senior companions, the most well-respected companions. So much so that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told him and promised him Jannah even though he was still alive. So Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas radiallahu anhu, he made hijrah to Al-Madinah, and then he returned back to Mecca when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was making his final Hajj. And then while Sa'd radiallahu anhu was in Mecca, he became ill, and the illness was severe. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, his practice was that he would visit the Muslims who are ill and sick. And this encourages us to fulfill this action of visiting Muslims who are ill or sick. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he would also visit the non-Muslims when they were ill, like the Prophet visited the Jewish boy. And the story is known and famous. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam visited Sa'd, Sa'd said to him, O Messenger of Allah, إِنِّي قَدْ بَلَغَ بِي مِنَ الْوَجْعِ مَا تَرَى, that the illness, as you can see, it's become severe. Meaning, I do not know whether I am going to survive this illness. It's so severe, I fear that I am going to die. وَأَنَا ذُو مَالٍ كَثِيرٍ, and I have a lot of wealth. I don't fear poverty. My daughter does not fear poverty. We have a lot of wealth. وَلَا يَرِثُنِي إِلَّا ابْنَهُ لِي, and I have only one daughter who is my heir. So all my wealth is going to go to her, because there are no other people from my relatives who will inherit from me. So therefore, we don't fear any poverty. So if this is the case of Messenger of Allah, أَفَأَتَصَدَّقُ بِثُلُثَيْ مَالِي, can I give 2/3 of my wealth in charity? So my daughter takes 1/3, and even that will be a lot, she will be rich. And what he meant by this is what is known as a wasiyah. And a wasiyah is a bequest that a person makes before his death, that after my death, I want so much amount of my wealth to be given in charity, to a particular charity. And then that wealth is given in charity, and then the remaining money is shared and distributed between the heirs who inherit his wealth. So Sa'd said, can I give 2/3 of my wealth in charity, and my daughter has 1/3, and I'm a very rich person, she's the only one who is going to inherit? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam forbade him, La, you are not allowed to give 2/3 of your wealth in charity. And then Sa'd said, okay, if I am not able to give 2/3 in charity, فَالشَّطَرْ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ, can I at least give half of my wealth in charity? And therefore my daughter will inherit a half of my wealth, and I am a wealthy person, she will inherit a lot of money. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, no, la, even 1/3 of your wealth you are not allowed. Even 1/2 of your wealth you are not allowed. And then Sa'd said, الثلث, if I am not permitted to give 2/3, and I am not permitted to give 1/2, am I allowed to give 1/3 of my wealth in charity? And so my daughter, she will inherit the majority of my wealth, i.e. 2/3, and she will be a rich woman. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he permitted him, he said, الثلث, yes, you can give 1/3, وَثُلُثْ كَثِيرٌ, however, even 1/3 is too much. Meaning, it is allowed for a person to bequest 1/3 of his or her wealth in charity, so the heirs take 2/3, but even this is not advisable. It is something which is permitted, but it is khilaf awla, meaning it is not something which is advisable. Rather, a person should give less than that. And for this reason, it has been narrated that Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he used to encourage the people to give 1/4, not 1/3. And he used to say that this is because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, الثلث والثلث كثير, that you are allowed to give 1/3, however, even 1/3 is too much. Meaning you are advised to give less than this. And so he used to advise the people to give 1/4. And it has been narrated from Abu Bakr radiallahu an, that he used to give 1/5, or he gave 1/5 of his wealth in charity. And therefore 4/5 of his wealth are shared by his heirs. And he said, because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, وَالثُلُثْ كَثِيرٌ, that even though you are allowed to give a third, however, even a third is too much. So it is better and more advisable to give less. Of course, a person is permitted to give and do whatever he wants with his wealth. If a person wanted to spend all his wealth and give all his wealth in charity or burn all his wealth, a person can do as he wants because it is his wealth, his property. As long as it does not entail any haram or it is not going to harm his family, for example, a person is permitted to do as he wants with his wealth during his lifetime. However, this hadith, Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas, he narrates when he was extremely ill. And this illness he was in, it was feared that this would be his final illness, meaning he was on his deathbed. So he was in this state, in this situation, and then he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And for this reason, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam forbade him from giving two thirds or giving a half in charity and allowed him a third, and even a third is too much. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he thought that if Sa'ad dies, and it seems that he's going to die because he's in a very severe illness, and he himself thinks that he's going to die as well, if he gives two thirds or if he gives a half of his wealth in charity, he's going to harm his daughter. His daughter will receive less. So this ruling of only being allowed or only being permitted to give a third of your wealth in charity, and even a third is too much, this is something which is specific to when a person is in his final illness upon his deathbed, or when he makes a bequest to be carried out after his death. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he explained his rationale behind this advice. He said to Sa'ad, إِنَّكَ إِنْتَذَرَ وَرَثَتَكَ أَغْنِيَا, for you to leave your dependents, your heirs, rich and wealthy, is better مِنْ أَنْتَذَرْهُمْ عَالَى, than you leaving them and they are needy in front of the people and dependent upon the people. يَتَكَفَّفُونَ النَّاسِ, and they beg from the people. The wording which is used here is يَتَكَفَّف. And the word يَتَكَفَّف comes from the word الْكَفْ. And the كَفْ is the palm of the hand of a person. Meaning for your heirs to be independent and wealthy and they don't need the people is better than them stretching their palms to the people asking and begging for money. So this was the thinking of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Leave your heirs in a state in which they can donate as opposed to they are begging. And in this, there's an important principle. And that is that if you give sadaqah, if you give charity, and you leave your heirs poor, people who are far away from you, they are going to benefit from your charity. And if you gave the same money to your family, then they will also benefit from your charity. And it is better for your family to benefit from your charity, because then you get two rewards. You get the reward, or you receive the reward of sadaqah, of charity, and then you receive the reward of silatul rahim, of keeping the ties of kinship. And two rewards is better than one reward. Now this does not mean that you're not allowed to give charity to anybody else outside of your family. This depends on the situation. So firstly, this hadith was specific because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam thought that Sa'ad radiallahu anhu may die, or if a person makes a bequest after his death. And secondly, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam still permitted a third, and it is better to give less than third. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he clarified this principle. He said, إِنَّكَ لَن تُنْفِقَ نَفَقَةً تَبْتَغِي بِهَا وَجْهَ اللَّهِ إِلَّا أُجِرْتَ عَلَيْهَا, that any spending, any type of spending which you do, but you do it hoping for the reward which is with Allah, أُجِرْتَ عَلَيْهَا, you are rewarded for this. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave an example to clarify it. He said, حَتَّى مَا تَجْعَلْ فِي إِمْرَاتِكَ, even the morsel of food which you place in the mouth of your wife, you are rewarded for it. as long as you have the correct intention. And this is the point behind the hadith. How is the hadith relevant to the chapter of ikhlas and the chapter of having a good intention? That if a person spends, even if it is not charity, like buying food for your family members, which you have to do anyway, but if you do it for the sake of Allah, remembering that Allah has obligated upon you to take care of your wife and to take care of your children, any spending which you do upon your parents, and you're going to spend that money anyway, and this is not charity, but you do it hoping for the reward which is with Allah, أُجِرْتَ عَلَيْهَا, you are rewarded for it. And this is why the Prophet ﷺ said, لَا تَحْقَرَنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ شَيْئًا, never belittle any type of goodness or any act of goodness which you do. Even, and then he said, even smiling in the face of your brother, your Muslim brother, even this is an act of charity, but if it is done with a correct intention. So in this hadith is a reminder and a benefit for us to rectify our intentions and do actions sincerely for the sake of Allah, even if they are worldly actions, even if it is mere spending. هذا والله أعلم وصلى الله على نبينا وسلم وبالله التوفيق.